And I'm very happy in the final hour of every Friday broadcast to bring you Fantasy Football Friday, which is my opportunity with Mike Sofka down in Orlando, Florida. Mike down in Orlando, myself up here in Central New York in Syracuse, Florida, and Orlando, my second home. There's a lot of work I do down there covering Central Florida, South Florida, Miami, Florida State, the Orlando Magic, as well as the Miami Dolphins, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, among other things. And obviously, recruiting, Syracuse very heavy in Florida recruiting, and so are schools all around the country. So Florida recruiting as well for student athletes. So very, very happy to have Florida as a second home and to have Mike Sofka as someone who is representing very well that second home and myself up here in Central New York to talk with you about fantasy football every Friday in the last hour of the show from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time. And with Fantasy Football Friday, before we get going, obviously we got to show some love to the intro and then we'll get it going.
Fantasy meets reality to create the game we've come to know and love. Here now with his analysis of the players affecting your teams around the world is Dan Tortora in Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy Football Friday here every single Friday inside a wake-up call with Dan Tortora from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time. And we are here to talk with you about the NFL, your favorite players, your teams, and of course, fantasy football and its connection to what we love. Mike's been doing drafts. I've been doing drafts. We got two coming up this weekend in Central New York on Saturday, September 3rd. We have one at 2 p.m. at Saltine Warrior. And on Sunday, September 4th, we have one at Saltine Warrior as well at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub on 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York is the hub of my fantasy football challenge for Wake Up Call here in Central New York. And down in Florida, we'll be doing a draft on Saturday, September 10th, right before the Jaguars home opener that I'll be on site for in the press box on Sunday, September 11th. So a lot of work to do. Mike and I are going up against each other for the seventh year. We'll be drafting together with a bunch of our friends that we have made over time in the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge that's in Florida. And I'm very excited for that. And I'm happy to have Mike back on the show to talk fantasy football. So if you have your questions, send them in on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt, on Twitter at calldt, that's C-A-L-L-D-T, or you can call us on Skype, DTBmedia213 is the username for us. So without further ado, Mike, how you doing this morning?
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And Mike, I know that you and I talked a little bit off the air on where we were going to start. And I think the big thing with fantasy football to start with, for all our fantasy football owners out there that are drafting, is what you should do when there is a run on a position that maybe you're not ready for. Now, I could tell you last year and pretty much every year before that, nobody was picking. You know, I do 18 rounds. You have 10 starters, 8 on your bench. And nobody drafted a kicker, except for maybe one person. Nobody drafted kickers until the 14th or 15th round. Now, in the drafts that I've done this year, people are taking kickers in the 9th round, in the 10th round, in the 8th round. And the same thing's happening with tight ends going very early in the 2nd round, 3rd round. So the question is, when there's a run on players, do you stick to your plan and stick to the guys that you want, or do you deviate from the plan and make sure that you get somebody at that position when there is an uncharacteristic run on that position? How do you handle it?
Well, it depends on when it is. It depends on what the position is and what the needs are. Getting over to the kicker thing, let me just squash that real quick. If you're picking a kicker, any other pick besides your last pick, you need my services and you need to stop what you're doing and immediately contact me at hallofamefantasyfootball.com. Kickers are a dime a dozen. You could get one last. That's fine. You're going to get a top kicker. If you have 12 teams, you're probably going to get the number 12 kicker, so you'll be fine with that. Now, as far as runs, it's always better to be the guy who starts a run. But if you notice a run going through the draft early, sometimes it's best while everybody's looking to flexible, and you have to take what the draft gives you. So hopefully you have players, a handful of players on some sort of guide or cheat sheet you've come up with or borrowed or used, and hopefully that is designed for your team and your scoring system in your league and the size of the league. If not, you just do the best you can. You find what works for you, and you follow that list. Doesn't mean you have to be very rigid. Sometimes you have to move from one side to the other. For instance, if you're in the early rounds and all the wide receivers are starting to go, you may do just as well at running back. Collect a few top running backs. And when everybody goes to running back, you know, at worst, maybe you'll have a bottom of the top tier or some second-tier wide receivers to bounce back over to. So there's a lot of ifs, there's a lot of probability, but, you know, the idea is take what the draft gives you. Don't fight it. Do what you got to do to get the best available players, especially through the first 50 or 60 selections in the draft.
And I want to bring you into one of the drafts that I did most recently, speaking here with Mike Sofka, who helps me out on Fridays with Fantasy Football Friday, the last hour of every Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora live broadcast here on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. And the draft that we just had, I wanted to discuss something with you here, Mike, and that is when to take a player. Now, this is how our round one went, and I'm going to tell you pick one all the way to pick 10. Round one, pick one, was Odell Beckham Jr. Second pick was Antonio Brown. Third pick was David Johnson. Fourth pick was Victor Cruz. Fifth was Julio Jones. Sixth was Carolina's team quarterback. Seventh was my pick, Todd Gurley. Eighth was Dez Bryant. Ninth was Le'Veon Bell. Tenth was LeSean McCoy. What sticks out to you?
Victor Cruz.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, whoever did that, they need to stop what they're doing, and they need to contact me at HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com if they want to win, because they got their work cut out for them. If your first pick is Victor Cruz, you might as well pick Jim Everett for whatever that, you know, means. I mean, you got a steal with Todd Gurley at 2, 4, 6, and 7. Looks like everybody did well. I think Le'Veon Bell went a little high there. I have him downgraded a little bit, because you got to remember, he's gone 3 weeks plus the bye, so that's 4 weeks. He's gone the first 3 weeks, and then week 8 he has the bye. But, I mean, you can, and I have been in a position in a draft where, because I'm not real high on that when your guy's going to be missing, you know, a quarter of the season or so and ahead of time, let alone a guy that's been injury-prone in the past and may miss more games. You know, so I he's fallen to me before into a position where I had to take him. I couldn't let him pass me by at a certain point. But at the same time, you know, you gotta use some sort of system that works well for you. And be careful about what you're doing and pay attention to the room. Even if it's on the computer, you can read the room a little bit better in person. But when it's on the computer, you can read who's doing what by seeing how they're selecting off the default rankings versus your own rankings. What you want to do is pay attention to that, because remember, not everybody's using the same system. Not everybody's using the same ranking system. And I guarantee you, if you're using my system, nobody's using that.
You know, and when you look at some of these, and like you said, you were surprised at Victor Cruz, and that, you know, speaking here in Fantasy Football Friday inside a Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, it was a huge surprise to me as well that at seventh pick, Todd Gurley was sitting there for me. Because to be completely honest, if I had first pick, I would have considered taking Todd Gurley. So to me, to have him fall to seven, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then what I was surprised about is to see Adrian Peterson fall into the second round, the beginning of the second round, and Ezekiel Elliott was at the end of our second round in the most recent draft when he was picked in the top three in the draft I had prior to. I want to do the Ezekiel Elliott factor. Now, this is a guy, Mike, who has had his issues off the field. He has obviously showed that he could be a problem off the field without even having played a game yet that actually counts for the Dallas Cowboys. At the same time, Dallas drafting him in the top five, top four, is Dallas saying to Ezekiel Elliott, we had Emmitt Smith. It's time to get back to those days. You don't draft a running back that high in fantasy football anymore, really, let alone in reality football. You don't see running backs go until like second round, third round now. So to have Ezekiel Elliott be drafted so high and to have so much expectation, but to have his issues off the field, where would you draft him comfortably in a draft if the draft was to happen today?
I have no problem calling Ezekiel Elliott a top 10 player. His average draft position right now throughout most drafts is around round 1-8 position. Depends on your scoring system, but temper your expectations. You know, some people are going to say, oh, you know, they don't have the quarterback. They're going to put 8 man in a box because they know they're going to hand the ball to Ezekiel Elliott 100 times. Well, that's not always true. Yeah, they have the best offensive line, and yeah, he's going to rack up a bunch of yards, but if you watched a lot of NFL games, it's easy to say put 8 men in a box all the time to stop the run. They don't put 8 men in a box. They can't put 8 men in a box because they have Dak Prescott there now, and Dak Prescott played basically in the NFL's minor league system in the SEC. The speed of the game in the SEC is different than most other colleges, and I know the speed of the game is even quicker in the NFL, but this is a guy who's had the next best thing, and he's looked awful good in preseason. Now, mind you, that being said, a lot of that was against second-tier players and some guys who may not even be on a team here shortly, but at the same time, you can't argue with success. It looks like he has instant rhythm with Dez Bryant, and it doesn't look like Ezekiel Elliott is going to fall off, and it looks like Jason Witten might actually take a tick up. So with that in mind, I like Ezekiel Elliott. I wouldn't overdraft him as a top three player, but at the same time, if he was around 7 or 8 where you got Todd Gurley, you almost have to take him.
So when you have an opportunity for the running back, like you said, you see these running backs going the latter part of round one. Running back and wide receiver, 3-4 years ago, Mike, you and I are talking about who do you draft in round one, and it's running back, running back, running back, running back, running back, running back, one wide receiver, maybe two, maybe a quarterback for somebody that feels like they need Aaron Rodgers in round one. But time has changed over the last 3 to 4 years. So running back to wide receiver, it's been pretty even in my round ones of both of the drafts that we've had here in Syracuse, New York at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub on 214 West Water Street in Syracuse. So when we look at round one, should you take a wide receiver? Should you take a running back? Where do you stand with that, knowing that, at least from my perspective, it's been pretty even? It's been like 5-5 or 6-4 of wide receiver, running back, wide receiver. In round one, what would you kind of lean more on to take?
Well, I think it depends on where you're picking and what your scoring system is. Because if you're in a PPR league, you can go ahead and put the wide receivers toward the top. And dare I venture to say, put a Todd Gurley, a David Johnson, a Ezekiel Elliott behind the top three receivers in Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham. But for the most part, in a standard scoring system, I'll give you an example. In my top 10 rankings, 3 of them are wide receivers. Most of them are all running backs. By the time you go down to my top 20 in rankings, you can go ahead and add 2 more receivers and a tight end in there. So what I'm saying is, it depends on the situation. I've been in a couple drafts this year where I've done 0 running back, and I try not to do that. And I've done that in years past, and that seems to be the current trend. But more times than not, I've been dominating on running backs because everybody's on the through a running back deal and everybody's on the wide receivers. So pretty much it's, you want to be the opposite trend when everybody's going one way. It's like the stock market. You know, you want to buy when everybody's selling and you want to sell when everybody's buying. So, I mean, it's a supply and demand type thing. You can read that as you're doing the draft. Don't be afraid with your first round pick. If you've got any kind of decent cheat sheet or any sort of idea or any football acumen, you're going to be fine with your first pick as long as you don't pick a Victor Cruz. And if you're thinking about picking a Victor Cruz in the first round, you know what to do. Hit me up on HallOfFantasyFootball.com.
Speaking here with Mike Sofka, Mike and I, every Friday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, bringing you Fantasy Football Friday on the live feed here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You talk about going against the grain. In the first 4 rounds of my most recent draft at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, this guy, Mark, who has been drafting with me in Central New York since I started the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge up here in New York, he went round 1, 2, 3, and 4 drafting a running back in each round. He went running back heavy, and he got – now, he picked third, and we were in a snake draft. So he got David Johnson, who was the first running back off the board from Arizona, and then he got Ezekiel Elliott at the bottom of round two, top of round three, Thomas Rawls, bottom of round four, C.J. Anderson. Those are four starters right there. He was going against the grain with a lot of people out there. There were other running backs that were chosen, but these are running backs. You know, some people were high on DeMarco Murray, even though Derrick Henry is there. Derrick Henry fell into my lap, who I think is going to be the starter eventually and have the majority of the carries. But, you know, you're seeing Jamaal Charles and different people coming off, and Mark ends up with four running backs in the first four rounds. Now, he got good running backs, in my opinion. C.J. Anderson's kind of a wild card with me, but I think maybe he went one round too long because his wide receivers are pretty good, but not that top-tier talent. What can you say about that? I know it's about reading the room and about what people are doing, but the first four rounds with a running back seems like to go a little bit too far.
Well, I've been there. I've been in that same predicament, and it's happened to me based on my rankings. But I also knew that I had some sleepers in every position that I was looking at, and that's comforting because even if you don't have a tier one player, now what I mean by tiers is you should be taking your cheat sheet and you should be breaking it out in tiers. Your top tier receivers are obviously the ones that are projected to score the most points. And then when there's a break off on the projections, you draw a line, and that's tier one. And tier two and tier three and so on. So you may have four or five guys in tier one or six or eight guys in tier two in each position. So that's when you can look, do I want to stay with a tier one wide receiver or do I want to zip over and get a tier one running back when everybody's on, you know, on the tier one wide receiver is already gone. So that's what I mean by going against the grain. If you've got some guys at tier two that you can jump on as a receiver, and there's plenty of them. There's a lot of guys that are going in that group. I'm talking about guys like Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Marshall, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, Jeremy Maclin, Randall Cobb, Golden Tate, Eric Decker. These are all two-tier guys, the top two tiers. They're the second-tier guys, and these are guys that you can easily get after you get two top running backs. So maybe even three top running backs because there's some deep sleepers, and maybe we'll reveal those a little bit later.
And we'll definitely talk about some sleepers with a couple drafts that I have coming up here in Syracuse, Saturday, September 3rd, Sunday, September 4th, Saturday, September 3rd, 2 p.m., Sunday, September 4th, 7:30 p.m. They're both going to be at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, right next to Clinton Square. And then Saturday, September 10th, down in Orlando, Florida, where Mike and I will be drafting together for the seventh year, which is awesome, and I definitely appreciate it. Fantasy Football Friday, we are talking everything fantasy football. If you have a topic, you have a question, share it with us and make sure that you let us know by replying to my posts on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt or Twitter at calldt, that's C-A-L-L-D-T. And to everybody listening in, feel free to send something over to us in the live chat. And Mike, before we go to the sleepers, I want to... You spoke about, you know, it's okay to take a lot of one position if you have some sleepers on your list, some people on your list that you kind of know are flying under the radar. Now, before we go into the deeper sleeper discussion, I do want to make note of some of the sleepers that I've seen in the last two drafts that I've done. And two of them of which I have drafted, and then Mark, who I thought was smart in this draft that we just had recently, he drafted both of them. And so these are guys I was looking at and he was looking at as well at different times. Kevin White from Chicago, Tavon Austin from L.A., Jared Cook even, that you have, who's now switched teams as a tight end, Spencer Ware from Kansas City, and I'm not going to name the other one because I think he's a deep sleeper right now. We'll talk about him in a minute. But the Tavon Austins and the Kevin Whites of the world and, you know, potentially like a Sterling Shepard and whatnot, Stephon Diggs fell to round 13 for us, and obviously he doesn't have his quarterback. But when you look at some of these guys that are flying under the radar, who are you seeing that's been consistently flying under the radar.
Well, I'll agree with those guys that you mentioned there, the, you know, Kevin White, Tavon Austin, Cook. It looks like he's going to be the starter. He's getting most of the looks in Green Bay. I don't know what Rick Rogers is doing. And Spencer Ware is an interesting play, but it's going to be still somewhat of a committee. Looks like Spencer Ware is actually going to get the start over Jamal Charles. Doesn't look like Jamal Charles is 100% back. And they're going to go ahead and temper their expectations on Jamal Charles and kind of ease him back in. So at least through the first half of the season, Jamal Charles is going to have a lighter workload, and you can see some points and some carries and a lot of touches for Spencer Ware. And don't forget, Kansas City has that dynamic, balanced attack where they're going to throw the ball to the running back as well. But getting back to sleepers in general, I do like the idea where you picked up on Sterling Shepard. He seems to be climbing up draft boards really quick. He's got an average draft position right now in the ninth round, the beginning of the ninth round. If you can steal him toward the end of your wide receiver, like if you start two wide receivers, maybe you're going to draft three or four, make him your third or fourth wide receiver, I think you're going to be very happy with him. I usually don't go for guys that are on the suspended situation, but a Josh Gordon has fallen into my hands more than once. Now, he's got an average draft position of seventh round, tenth position right now, but you got to temper your expectations there as well. Here's a guy that's going to be suspended for four games at least. Then they got a bye week in week 13 right before a lot of the fantasy playoffs, so you're going to miss him for 5 weeks. So make sure you have somebody solid to replace him. But when he's on the field, you can't argue what he's about. He's the same situation with Le'Veon Bell, who's got those 3 weeks and the bye week in week 8. Again, you, as long as you're covered, by all means, go ahead and draft those guys and use them. Getting back to more sleepers, I like the Corey Coleman. I usually stay away from guys in Cleveland, but Corey Coleman from Cleveland, he might be the leading receiver going into, you know, by the time Josh Gordon gets back. I don't know what else they're going to do there. I don't believe in Terrell Pryor. We'll just have to wait and see, but it looks like Corey Coleman, he's a speedster from Baylor, so he can definitely get past some people, and I think RG3 is going to be able to get him the ball. Tyler Boyd might be a decent sleeper, too, out of Cincinnati. Somebody's got to be the number two receiver to A.J. Green, and it looks like he's going to be the guy. And don't forget, when you're got a number two receiver on a team, per se, you know, the number one's hogging that number one corner. So when they play the Jets, Darrell Revis is going to be on that number one corner. Well, I'd rather have the second guy up against the guy who has the potential and the upside to be a number one receiver. And these are the guys we're talking about in Sterling Shepard and Corey Coleman and Tyler Boyd. Now, a lot of these guys are young here. They're rookies or what have you. And you got to be careful of the learning curve there as well. Kicking over to running back, if you're looking for some sleepers in the running back position, you know, it's a little more difficult. But I think if Devontae Booker out of Denver, this is a guy whose average draft position right now is halfway through the 12th round. He's going to be a steal, and I'll tell you why. I think he's going to take over the job from C.J. Anderson halfway through the year. And what better position to be in than not have to run to the waiver wire to pick somebody up because he's already on your team? You're the one who forecasted that to happen early in the season. You're going to be the guy that everybody looks at and goes, wow, how did you know? Well, you listened to Dan and I on the show, and that's how you knew. Another sleeper running back situation might be a Tim Hightower in New Orleans. You know, I wonder if Mark Ingram is going to be able to stay healthy all year. Tim Hightower seems to be the big back there, the guy that's going to get the goal line touches. And I'm still not sold on LeGarrette Blount. I still think James White might be the guy to own out of New England. Now, New England's got a high power offense, and I know they're going to be without Brady for the first part of the year, but well, that's even better because they're probably going to be running the ball, and that's what James White does. But he also catches the ball out of the backfield, which is huge, which is what you want. So if you can get a James White in the 12th round, why not? Go for it. Over at the wide receiver, I'm sorry, at the tight end position, I think Kobe Fleener might be a guy that you could look at. But I also like Jordan Cameron. I know everybody's down on Jordan Cameron. This is a guy you could probably steal at the very end of your draft. Jordan Cameron is in that Gase offense, and they just ask Julius Thomas about that Gase offense. I mean, he is going to get a lot of looks. When Gase went to Chicago, that's when Zach Miller became a household name as well. So I think Jordan Cameron, as long as he can hang on to the ball and as long as they can get him the ball, he'll be a guy to consider. And over at quarterback, a deep sleeper, I like RG3. I got him ranked right now as the 25th quarterback. He's going in the 15th round, in the beginning of the 15th round, but I see him as a guy who possibly could keep things afloat until Josh Gordon comes back, and then he'll probably unload with a lot of deep balls to Josh Gordon. So there's some deep sleepers for you. I'm sure there's more out there, but that's just a couple names to get it going.
And I want to keep with the sleepers, and I want to talk about those in just a second, but I want to step aside, Mike, because you and I received a question from one of the listeners that's listening on to Fantasy Football Friday inside of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, and that is coming from JWT220. He wants to know our thoughts on Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Oakland Raiders. I'm going to throw it to you, Mike, and then I'll get my own thoughts. So what do you think about Derek Carr on a fantasy team, maybe where you would take him, and just any notes you could say? You respond first, Mike, and then I'll give my thoughts on Derek Carr as well.
Sure. I had Derek Carr as my number 15 quarterback on my list. His average draft position right now is late in the 8th round. I like Derek Carr. I like the weapons. I like the things that they're doing in Oakland. I like some of the new running backs coming in, and DeAndre Washington. I definitely like Latavius Murray, a UCF product. I like Derek Carr, and who can argue Amari Cooper? And don't forget, you got Michael Crabtree. They have a premium offensive attack. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. They're going to play some teams out west that aren't as good as some of the teams in the east as well. So there's a great opportunity for Derek Carr to do a great job this year. Unfortunately, he's not a QB1 for me, but he'd be a high-level QB2, a guy that would be on my bench and fill in due to injury or a bye week.
That coming from Mike Sofka. My thoughts on Derek Carr, I would definitely say that, you know, Derek Carr has done some nice things in a very young career. I just drafted him actually as my second quarterback in my most recent draft. So my first quarterback was Aaron Rodgers, and then I went and got shortly after that, in round 7, in the latter part of round 7, which Mike was saying round 8 is the average. And toward the end of round 7, I picked up Derek Carr just to make sure I had my backup ready and set to go. And what I could say about this, I mean, Michael Crabtree is somebody that people have been high on in the drafts that I have seen. They like what he can bring. Amari Cooper is not spending a lot of time off the draft board, I should say. Amari Cooper is going relatively quickly for a young wide receiver. There's a lot of belief and a lot of faith in him. Obviously, Latavius Murray is better than I think he showed last year. So his health and being out there, he's gonna take some of the load off of Derek Carr and utilize the play action is what I would look for in this respect. If this offense is healthy and it's clicking on all cylinders, you got to remember, this is an offense that's inside of a division in the AFC West that has to face the San Diego Chargers twice. And Eric Weddle is no longer a defensive back for the San Diego Chargers, and he was the best one that they had. So Derek Carr being able to air it out against teams like San Diego that have struggled on defense and teams like Kansas City that are give or take on defense. Yeah, Denver has a good defense, but at the end of the day, you're looking at Derek Carr with 2 games against San Diego, 2 games against Kansas City, and those are big games for him potentially and big games for you. So you're looking at a backup quarterback that has 3 or 4 good weeks that's coming as far as the talent he has and what he's going up against. And they have multiple tight ends in Clive Walford and Mikel Rivera that they're going to utilize as well. I think that Derek Carr has shown that he has the capability, and I think that drafting him as your second quarterback would be the right thing to do. And Mike said round 8, and I drafted him toward the end of round 7, so I can't disagree with that either. And I do think that when you have one of your quarterbacks that are off, to put out somebody like Derek Carr, you shouldn't be nervous, especially with the division that he's in and the fact that secondary-wise, I don't think he is going up against the top talent in the country when it comes to Kansas City as well as San Diego. And he's got some other good games coming up as well where I think he's going to have some opportunities on the road and at home for Derek Carr. So that's our thoughts on Derek Carr, and I want to thank the question from JWT220. Mike, to go back to sleepers and deep sleepers, Hunter Henry, speaking of San Diego, he is a rookie tight end. Some people believe that in the future of the NFL, he could be one of the best. Antonio Gates is, I want to say he has 1 foot out because he's been injured his foot before, but Antonio Gates to me is maybe two or three games in, and then we don't see him again. I mean, this is a guy who was at the top of his game a few years back. He was the number one tight end. He was the guy being taken before Gronk. And, you know, now we look at Antonio Gates where it's kind of like, okay, if he gets hurt this year, is he just going to call it, you know, be done with it and put the cleats up for good? Hunter Henry, I think, will eventually take this job this season. I think he's going to have to because Antonio Gates is injury prone. But what do you think about a Hunter Henry who most recently in one of my drafts was taken in the 18th round in the last three picks? Hunter Henry, nobody was thinking about Hunter Henry. And this guy picked up someone who I think is going to be a starter at some point. What do you think about Hunter Henry as a deep, deep sleeper?
Yeah, I think he could be. I don't have him as being draftable in my most recent rankings. I have him ranked as the number 30 tight end. Well, you know, if you think about it, there's 32 teams, so it's still pretty good. But you want guys that are going to be, you know, you're in a 12-team league. You want to make sure you're in the top 12 in every position, even backups, if that can be, or as close to it as you can. I agree with what you're saying with Antonio Gates. I don't think he's going to make it the full season. But drafting a backup tight end like that, unless you're in a league where you have to have two tight ends, you may consider passing on that and just keeping a steady eye on the waiver wire or making sure your backup tight end already has secured a full-time job. Hunter Henry looks like he has the capability, and it looks like they're going to mold him to being the next Antonio Gates or maybe even beyond that. But at the same time, this is a draft to get the best possible players. And right now, as we speak, he's not one of the best possible players. He has that ability to be, but even in the 18th round, I don't know if I would draft him.
I do believe that he could be a waiver wire steal. I think in a league of 10, which I try to keep it around that, you know, 10 to 12, that's there's always going to be somebody out there to take. There's always going to be some steals. Julius Thomas was there a couple years ago. You know, there's been different guys that have been out. Gary Barnage was there last year. So when I look at Hunter Henry, I believe that he's somebody like week 8. You might be able to jump on and steal him. But, if you know, 18th round, you know, you take what you can get. There were some other guys that were starters out there, so I get what you're saying on that, Mike. And at the same time, I also believe that Hunter Henry is a guy that you kind of tuck away for a little while. It's just, do you have enough to tuck him away? And if you're going to tuck him away, I think you should have two starting tight ends on your team, not just one, especially if you have a flex position that utilizes tight end, wide receiver, or running back. When we look at the situation of when to draft and who to draft, not just backups, but injured players. Someone like Jimmy Graham, who got injured, obviously tight end in Seattle, and he's, you know, been at practice, but they're kind of not very clear on what his future looks like, what the season looks like, and how fast he's going to be, you know, when he comes in for week one, if he's going to be out there. So guys like Jimmy Graham, guys like Tyler Eifert, you know, you look at tight ends like that, and, you know, there's some other guys that are kind of sitting out there, the Matt Jones of the world, running back for Washington. When there's an injured player that has a timetable that's not very clear, are these people you take a gamble on in the middle of the draft, at the end of the draft, or not at all? How do you look at it?
Again, depends on the situation, depends on the scoring system, depends on my roster, depends on where I'm at in the draft. But for the most part, all three of those guys probably aren't going to find a spot on my team. You know, Matt Jones, you know, strong runner out of University of Florida. Here's a guy that looked like he could carry the load. Well, he's got a problem. He can't carry the ball all the time, and he's fighting an injury. Now, right now, he's going to average of in early in the sixth round, and that's just too rich for me. I have him ranked as the number 29 overall running back. I'm not afraid to take him as my second or third running back, but that would be the best. Tyler Eifert, I think he's going to be out at least till week 6. And then if you look, Tyler Eifert has a bye in week 9. So you're going to get him for week 7 and 8, and you're going to get him from 10 to 13. You're going to get him for 5 weeks. If you can steal him at the end, which you probably won't, because somebody's going to overdraft him, so stay away. And J- Jimmy Graham, he's been battling injury, but I got him ranked as the number 19 tight end right now. He's average draft position halfway through the 10th round. This is a guy who had a famed career over in New Orleans, hasn't got it to click yet in Seattle. With the injury, that doesn't make it better. He could be my tight end too, but I probably wouldn't even have a spot for him on my team.
And then keeping with the tight end position, because I think this is a position that isn't as clear as some other ones for the majority of people, for the average fantasy football owner or fantasy football player. Baltimore Ravens, Max Williams, Dennis Pitta at tight end. I mean, they're both going through injury right now. Teams like Baltimore and any other team you want to mention as well, you know, maybe the Buffalo Bills would be one to note. Are there certain teams where you just say, tight end-wise, even if they're the starter, stay away from them? You know, is Buffalo, Baltimore, any other team you could think of, are there certain teams where you're just not sold on anybody?
I don't know if it's a team situation. It's an individual situation. I think one thing that could be declared as a team situation might be the cluster that got going on at tight end in Tampa Bay with Seferian Jenkins getting thrown out of practice early in preseason here. For not knowing the playbook. Well, you know, he should know a playbook. He's got dynamic physical tools, but evidently something's missing there. So we're going to start Cameron Brate, and now Cameron Brate's falling off. So any committee situation you want to stay away from, you want elite starters. And, you know, some of the elite starters include but aren't limited to Gronk, of course, is the number one guy. But Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed, Gary Barnridge, Delanie Walker, Kobe Fleener, Zach Ertz, Antonio Gates, we talked about, a little banged up. I like Julius Thomas. I think he's going to have a big bounce back here. Martellus Bennett is great insurance, and I hate to say handcuffing a tight end, but I think New England's going to shift to that situation where they were trying to be a few years ago when they had that killer guy, Aaron Hernandez, pardon the pun. But they like that two tight end set where they have two guys that have to be covered by a linebacker but are much more athletic than a linebacker, so the other team has to switch to nickel, and then they can run on that two tight end set as well. So that creates a lot of mismatches and a lot of problems. So Martellus Bennett's going to be on the field quite a bit. And taking a tick up from 16 to 13 on my list with the injury to Romo is Jason Witten. Jason Witten, as of late, has been a nice security blanket, but he disappears in the red zone. I think that's going to change a little bit with Dak Prescott at the quarterback.
What makes you believe that Dak Prescott could change things for Jason Witten? Because, obviously, you know, the conversation for years has been, you know, and kind of the running joke is that, you know, Tony Romo and Jason Witten are married to each other. They're roommates on the road. They, you know, they've always been able to link up in the past. So what would make you believe that a rookie quarterback in Dak Prescott, who has a different skill set than Tony Romo, he can throw the ball, but he's going to run it as well, to be the type of player that he is and the dynamic player that he is, what makes you believe that a Jason Witten would be good for a Dak Prescott?
Well, and vice versa. I'm not saying Dak Prescott would even have a place on my team, let alone my bench. The challenge there is that you know, this is the NFL, and the speed of the game is much different. The thing Dak Prescott has going for him is he was essentially in the NFL's minor league system in the SEC. The SEC is pretty fast, you know, and the SEC is one step below the NFL, yet a giant leap above a lot of other leagues. So for most of his 4 years as a starter at Mississippi State, he faced the Florida Gators. He faced Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi. He faced challenges week in, week out. So this is a guy who's not afraid to get out there and stick his nose in it and run the ball, throw the ball, and he looked like a playmaker, even though it was predominantly against number twos. This is a guy who's got talent around him. And if he can pull the Trent Dilfer card and just not screw it up and not turn the ball over, he's going to have a great year as well. The problem is most rookie quarterbacks, and even Peyton Manning, they're going to throw 15 to 20 picks. So if you're in a league with negative points, that's going to affect you. But if Jason Witten will become a security blanket for a guy like Dak Prescott, because there's going to be times, there's going to be blitzes, there's going to be things going on in the disguise, and he's going to have an emergency on his hand, and he's going to know that he can dump it off to the tight end or the running back, and that's where Jason Witten's going to benefit.
When you look at coming out of that, you know, and like you said, Jason Witten, you feel like he can benefit from this. there's some people shying away from a Jason Witten. He is getting taken, but maybe obviously not as high as in the past. One of the other guys that you brought up, speaking here with Mike Sofka, myself, Dan Tortora, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, the final hour of every Friday broadcast from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time is dedicated to fantasy football and simply called Fantasy Football Friday. Jordan Reed, you brought him up. This is a guy who on some boards is the number two tight end that's out there. Now, he had time with Kirk Cousins last year, and he ended with 952 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns. He scored a touchdown in 7 of the team's games last year. So about half the time he was getting you points, and the other half of the time he was getting you some yardage but not getting into the end zone. Are you sold on a Jordan Reed? Because I've passed on him. I've seen other people pass on him. I look to Gronkowski, Greg Olsen, Gary Barnage, those types of guys, maybe even a Jared Cook, before I would go to Jordan Reed. Where do you stand on Jordan Reed, knowing that he had 11 touchdowns as a tight end, but he wasn't consistently week to week doing it for you? Do you think he's a number two overall when it comes to the tight end position, and where would you draft him? I mean, how do you kind of see the Jordan Reed factor, knowing that some people are sold and some people are not? I'm one of those that is not sold, so can you sell me on him?
You know, Jordan Reed's an outstanding athlete out of the University of Florida. Talented athlete, actually came into the Gators as a quarterback and switched to tight end, wore Steve Spurrier's old number 11. And you could see, just like when Aaron Hernandez was there, this guy bounced off the field. You know, he was the guy that you saw. He was the guy that you had to pay attention to. He was the guy that was going to make plays. And he was the guy that when you're looking at the field, even from the press box, that's the guy that your eye is drawn to. That's the guy you want on your team. Now, I've got him depending on which league you're in, because I do a different cheat sheet for each league depending on the scoring system, because it's different for each league. You know, scoring systems are different. Sizes are different. There's a lot of different attributes, and you got to be ready for most anything when you're drafting. The first thing is know the rules and know the scoring system. I'll give you an example. In a draft I'm getting ready to do tonight, I got Jordan Reed downgraded to the number 4 tight end. However, his average draft position is toward the end of the 3rd round. That's too high for me. I like a Jordan Reed, and if he fell to me, that would be fine. If he fell a couple rounds further, I would draft him. But there's if you don't get Gronk, there's a large contention that tight ends out there are pretty much all the same. For example, from number 2 to number 11, the difference in projected points on my tight end sheet is only 21 points. That's 1 point, like 3 points per week. So there's a lot of guys together there. You're going to get a good tight end if you don't get Gronk. Don't overreach for a guy you think might get hurt, or if there's any doubt in your mind about the backup or the situation, don't do it. Don't make that guy your top guy. Get a guy who you know is your top guy. You know, again, if Jordan Reed fell to me maybe in the 5th or 6th round, I would look at it, but he's just getting drafted way too high for me right now.
You know, and I agree. He was drafted in the top of the 4th round in my most recent draft. I passed on him every time, and, you know, my focus is, you know, my top tier, in my opinion, Gary Barnage, well under the radar. I think that he was the top target last year. I know that they have a new quarterback, but just as Dak Prescott can run around and open things up, I think Robert Griffin can do the same if he stays healthy. I like Gary Barnage. I like Greg Olsen. Obviously, Gronk does what he does. Before we close out of Fantasy Football Friday, though, Mike, I do want to go to two quick things. I want to stick with Washington for a second and make a note of DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. I'm not sold on either one of these guys. I haven't been sold on DeSean Jackson in a while. Pierre Garçon, not a big fan of. These are the two number ones, so to speak, for Washington, one on one side, one on the other side. I guess if it's Jordan Reed, DeSean Jackson, and Pierre Garçon, that's when I would consider Jordan Reed. But I'm not very sold on Washington wide receivers. Where would you take them? Do you like them? Where do you fall on Washington?
Well, one of those two guys is going to lose their job by the end of the year to Josh Doctson if he can get healthy and get on the field. Josh Doctson is a dynamic player currently getting drafted around the middle of the 18th round. I wouldn't draft Josh Doctson yet. I would wait and see, and if somebody picks up, that's fine. He can sit on their bench for the first half of the season. attention to that situation in Washington midway through the season. Washington knows Washington is going to throw the ball. They have a dynamic offense. You know, don't forget they got a Gruden there as a coach, so he likes quarterbacks. They're going to do what they got to do, and that Gruden Jay Gruden, he's the guy that was in the AFL with the Orlando Predators. Here's a guy that knows how to put up points, knows that it's a passing league, comes from a passing situation. So there's going to be volume and targets for both DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. DeSean Jackson's hands down the number one guy there. He's got an average draft position of the end of the 7th round. If you're looking at a Pierre Garçon, he's going in the 16th round toward the end. Comparatively, I got DeSean Jackson as the number 26 wide receiver, and I've got Pierre Garçon as the number 55 wide receiver. So I think they're going to have a dynamic offense in Washington. I think they're going to be able to do some things as long as Matt Jones can hang on to the ball and not turn it over. But, I would wait. And if those guys fell to me, if DeSean Jackson fell to me, great. Pierre Garçon, I'd probably just stay away from. And Josh Doctson, I'd keep an eye out for on waivers.
Josh Doctson, somebody to look out for. I agree. And that brings me to my final topic for Fantasy Football Friday. We got 3 minutes to go here, Mike. So we're almost to the 2 minute warning. And this is a big one because I did this year, the first year I ever played fantasy football, I drafted Fred Taylor. He wasn't even ranked. He was in the column on the side for rookies. I got laughed at, and then he became the rookie of the year and everybody wanted me to trade him to them in year number two, to which I laughed and said, no, I'm good with the worst running back. That's what I was told. He was the worst running back as a rookie. So I figured I'd just keep him and keep the worst guy who won the rookie of the year. So it brings me into the rookie challenge, and this is what I have for you in the two-minute warning that we've now fallen into. What rookies are worth drafting? I'm going to give you mine, and then you give me yours to everybody that's listening here. Rookies worth drafting, wide receivers. I would say potentially Corey Coleman, Sterling Shepard, Tyler Boyd in a deep league. I've not seen anybody really go after Will Fuller, so I only have a few as far as wide receivers. Tight ends, Hunter Henry, you can maybe leave on waivers or get in the 18th round. And then running backs, draftable, Ezekiel Elliott, Derrick Henry, Kenneth Dixon if he's healthy, Devontae Booker, CJ Prosise if you're looking for a backup. Those are the ones that come to mind. Really quick in the two-minute warning, running back, tight end, wide receiver, so we're talking flex, so to speak. Who are the rookies that you would draft?
You've named some great ones there. Zeke Elliott obviously is a top 10 pick. Sterling Shepard and Corey Coleman are almost interchangeable. You got to go with what they have in the Giants right now, and that's a big offense. You got to cover somebody. They got too many weapons there, so Sterling Shepard should shine. This is a guy who can score from anywhere on the field. I think Fuller's going to be a solid number two receiver here by year's end, and I think Corey Coleman could lead Cleveland in passing, but that's not saying a lot. It is Cleveland. You know, there's another guy that I want you to keep in mind for waivers late. That's Austin Hooper, Atlanta. This is a guy who's going to be a top guy. And again, you mentioned Devontae Booker. This is a guy who probably by mid-year, week six maybe, as early as that, is going to be the starter in Denver. But just look for situations. Kenneth Dixon looks like he's banged up a little bit. I like a Jordan Howard out of Chicago. I like a Paul Perkins out of New York Giants, but these are guys, DeAndre Washington as well, but these are guys you may want to pick with near your last pick or just keep an eye out for them.
That coming from Mike Sofka, myself, Dan Tatora, proudly bringing you Fantasy Football Friday. Mike, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and I will see you very soon.
Sounds like a plan. Be sure to visit me at HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com.
HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com. And what code is it again, sir?
If you use the code Orlando40, you're going to get 40% off. And I promise you, it's a guarantee on my site. I have a guarantee you will make the playoffs in your league. And we also offer daily fantasy services as well for those folks who are on FanDuel and DraftKings.
That coming from Mike. Mike, thank you as always. I appreciate it.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you next time.
Take care. So that coming from Mike Sofka, myself, Dan Tatora, Fantasy Football Friday, 11 a.m. to noon. Every Friday broadcast, a wake-up call with Dan Tatora. Check us out at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub Saturday at 2 p.m., Sunday at 7:30 p.m., and I love you all.